a daily, deliberate, conscious attitude of gratitude can dramatically change your life.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, there's an expression that no doubt you've heard before, which is practice what you preach, right? We've been looking in our series here of the Gospel Harmonies and Jesus and his encounters with the Pharisees and the scribes, that they were hypocrites. They were persons who professed certain things, preached certain things, but they did not always practice them. And so out of that, then, we have this expression to practice what you preach. And I think that's important for all of us as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to practice what we preach. But I think it's especially important if you're actually preaching to practice what you preach, right? And so I took that to heart last year when I was preaching on this subject of giving thanks. And I decided that I needed to get more serious about giving thanks. Now, I did give thanks to God. But you know how sometimes you've come to this point in your life where you realize that, you know what, I think it's time for a growth step in my life here. I need to step it up here a little bit. And I decided I needed to get more disciplined and regular and systematic about giving thanks. I decided it was time to get serious about cultivating gratitude in my life as a daily conscious discipline. So I want to talk to us today about that Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is not just a one day a year holiday, but rather Thanksgiving should be and is an everyday attitude of the heart for us, especially as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, so many people in this world, we have so much to give thanks for, don't we, that we can be grateful for. But how much more so as followers of Jesus do we have so much to give thanks for, don't we? So I read something before. I want to share it with you again here. That it's about perspective, that there can be all kinds of things that can challenge us, that might tempt us to become a little bit worried or fretful or anxious, but we can change that around when we think about it. For example, you might get a little anxious when you have to fill your gas tank. You know, you go and you put that in, and it's not cheap to fill up a gas tank, is it? But you know what? Be thankful that you have a working car, right? I don't know if you know that tension and that anxiety that can come when there's a problem with the car, right? So I know it's not fun filling up that gas tank, but be thankful that you have a working car. Or how about when you go to the grocery store and you pay for those groceries, you got to buy all those groceries, but you know what? Be thankful that you have food on the table, right? There are people that don't have that. Be thankful when you pay your gas or your electric bill that you have a warm home. Be thankful when you have to work a little late or you've got a tough project you're working on. Be thankful that you have a job. Or maybe even sometimes you might get some bad news. You go and you see your doctor, and maybe it's very bad news. But be thankful, though, that you have the hope of eternal life and the resurrection. So it's all a matter of perspective then, isn't it, on those things? You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us that when we believe in him, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, that God does an amazing work in our hearts of creating a new person. You become a new person. You are a new creation, the scripture says. You are a new creation, and you have a new self in Christ. And today we're going to just take a look at some of those attitudes and practices of the new self, the new person that you are in Christ, then with a special emphasis then on giving thanks. And by the way, you're going to get a chance to actually do that. You know, we always like to, toward the end of the sermon, we want to apply the sermon. And usually the application point of that sermon, consists of a challenge. Like, here are some steps, some action steps. How then should we live? In response to what we've learned from the scriptures here, how then should we live? And we're going to look at that, But then we're going to get an opportunity to actually do it. Put it into practice right here today that you're going to do a little preaching yourselves. You can practice what you've heard preached, and that is you're going to have an opportunity at the end to actually give thanks. So be thinking about that now. What would you like to give thanks to God for today? So in our service here today, we said, and be thankful. Focus in Colossians chapter 3, going to specifically focus on verses 12 through 17. And we might ask, what's the big idea? What's the main point? What's the main idea I want us to take away from this message here today? And that is this, that a daily, deliberate, conscious attitude of gratitude can dramatically change your life. How many of you have heard that phrase, attitude of gratitude, before, right? How many of you have heard it so many times you never want to hear it again the rest of your life, right? Well, you know, so I know sometimes things can become a cliche and that, but I think that's important for us, and I like that, this thought here, we must daily, deliberately, consciously choose this attitude of gratitude, of giving thanks, and it can dramatically change your life. And in fact, for today, I want to give you a little personal testimony of what God has been doing in my life through this process of a daily, deliberate, consciously cultivating this attitude of gratitude. I'm going to talk a little bit later about that then. So a daily, deliberate, conscious attitude of gratitude can dramatically change your life. Before we look at our text in Colossians, a little context here. This is being written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And I know this is going to surprise and shock some of you, but he was writing to correct some false ideas and some false practices. I know that. I see someone chuckling a little bit there. You know, sometimes we can get a little frustrated, like, you know, like, what's wrong with the church? What's going on? You know, you get people that are believing dumb things, false things, or maybe just not living up to the calling, our calling in Christ. They're doing bad stuff here. And we think like somehow this is unusual that we're encountering this or dealing with this, when the reality is that so much of our scripture, so much of the New Testament was written exactly for that, right? To correct bad teaching and to correct bad behavior. And so many of the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, are all about correcting false ideas and false attitudes and practices then. So here then, Paul is clearly setting forth this teaching that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That is, he is God. He is also in the flesh. He is human. He is a man. He is both God and man in the flesh. Also then, that his death on the cross then for our sins is the basis of our salvation. And it is only then through faith in him and in his completed work for us that we can be saved, that we can be brought into a right relationship with God. So as believers in Jesus then, we are new persons. We have new capabilities that we can now lead a righteous life through the power of God at work in us in his Holy Spirit. And we, though, must actively choose to do that. We must choose to put off that old self, that old person that we were with all of its corruption, and put on the new self, the new person that we are, which is daily being renewed in the image of God, our Creator. So I want to look, let's start first in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, verses 1 through 4, where here Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, and by the way, if you're a believer, is there any question about whether or not you've been raised with Christ? No, there's not any question, but he says, if then, and we might say, since then, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, I know that's something we can read that, and maybe we're a little preoccupied. We're thinking about other things, but I want to challenge you. If you're thinking right now about what you have to do later today or what's coming up at work this week, I want to challenge you right now. Push that aside. Put that aside for right now. And just think and just listen. Ask God to speak to your heart here today. And think about that for just a moment. Think about that. That if you're a believer, you have been raised with Christ. You have been joined with Christ in his life, in his death, and his resurrection. And because of that, then, you are a new person. So therefore, what? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died. You died with Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're connected with him. When Christ, who is your life, appears, what's that talking about? When Christ appears, what's that? It's the second coming, right? When he comes again, we often think of Christ coming again, the second coming, we imagine just Jesus coming in great glory and power all by himself or something. But he's not coming by himself. Who's he coming with? He's coming with his angels, but who else? His people, the saints, you. You're coming with him. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Think about that. So what shall we do? Let us seek the things above. That's what. Focus our mind on heavenly things, heavenly values, heavenly virtues, heavenly priorities, heavenly perspectives. Get on board with what God is doing. And think about that. Think about what God is doing in your life. Think about what he's doing in his people, the church. Think about what he's doing in the world, where he's leading it. Someone said in our Wonder Lake Bible Institute earlier this morning in class, they said, you know, sometimes we can look around and we think that it just looks like the world is falling apart. And it sure seems that way, right? They said, no, the world is not falling apart, but rather what? Everything is falling into place, right? World isn't falling apart. Everything is falling into place for God's eternal plan for this world, this plan of redemption. And so get on board with that and seek the things that are above, because you've been raised with Christ. You have been joined with him in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And since we have been raised with him, you know, when Christ died for sin, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he rose, you rose with him. When he comes back, you're coming with him because you've been joined to him. And so since then, let us then seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Things above, the things that are honoring and pleasing to God. Christ-like character, virtue, fulfilling the work of God in your life, proclaiming the gospel, the kingdom message, putting our spiritual gifts to work, encouraging others, serving. Think about those things above, not the things that are on earth. You know, I've said before that it's been said that, you know, maybe you've heard this expression that someone is so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good, right? Someone is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And I would suggest to you, actually, the truth is the opposite. The more truly heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are, right? So you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Well, so what? What should I do? Well, we don't have to guess. We're told. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. That is what earthly or sinful, fallen attitudes and priorities and values and perspectives. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So seek the things above and put off the old. Put off earthly, sinful things, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, this grasping desire to have and want what others have, to covet. Because of these things, God's wrath, God's judgment is coming. But they once walked in them. So too have many of us, right? We once walked in those things. But now we must put them all away, along with anger and wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. And rather than slandering, lie. Do not lie to one another. Do not lie to one another. But speak the truth, because we put off the old and put on the new. The imagery here is like taking off dirty old clothes and putting on fresh, clean clothes. How many of you know you've been not working hard? Maybe some of you, your job, you have a job that you get dirty and feel from that, right? Others of you, maybe you don't have a job that you get dirty from, but you get dirty because you go out and you're doing some yard work out in the yard. It's a very hot day, right? And you just got these dirty clothes. You're working in the garden. You're just getting dirty from all of that. And you come in, and what do you want to do? You want to clean. You want to take those dirty old clothes off, get washed up, and what? Put on fresh, clean clothes. And that's the picture, the imagery here. Putting off those old dirty things, those old dirty attitudes and behaviors, and putting on fresh, new, clean attitudes and behaviors. Because you are daily being renewed in the image of God our Creator into Christ-likeness, being made like Him. And here we are together, gathered as God's people. There is one body of Christ, one people, Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all. We all come together from many different backgrounds, but we come together as the one people of God in Christ. Do you think of yourself that way? Then we're told, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So seek the things that are above. Put off the old and then put on the new. Scripture says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Again, did you know that long before God created everything, He already knew you and loved you and purposed to bring you to Himself, that you would know Him and be in right relationship with Him forever and ever. Isn't that incredible to think about that? Do you just take some time? Just take some time and think about that. Before God made anything, He already knew you and loved you and purposed to draw you to himself, to be in a right relationship of love and blessing with him forever and ever. Think about that. It's incredible, isn't it? You're God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He chose you to know him. He chose to make you holy, and you are the object, the eternal object of his love. In light of that, then, put off all that old junk and put on the new. What? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, but putting others and their needs ahead of our own. Meekness is what? Meekness is not weakness. It is strength that's under control, right? Patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. How? As we have been forgiven. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? Sometimes, to bear with one another, to forgive as we have been forgiven. By the way, these are commands of God's. These aren't options for us to consider, right? These are things God has told us to do. How can we, who have been forgiven so much, refuse to forgive one another, right? It's like the parable Jesus told of that man who had been forgiven a vast debt that he could never repay, a huge sum. He was forgiven that, and he went out rejoicing. But then he saw someone who owed him a paltry amount in comparison to what he had been forgiven. And he what? He grabbed him and choked him and said, demanding, pay me what you owe. Should that be our attitude as followers of Jesus toward one another? No. We're told then love binds them all together in perfect harmony. And we're told to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, that we should be so committed and devoted to the peace of Christ. Peace, not that inner tranquility, but that peace that we are no longer at war with God. We are no longer at war with one another. God has made peace with us, and we are to extend that peace to one another. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We do not have to create unity. God has already created that for us, but we must maintain the unity that God has created already for us in the body of Christ. And we can do that by bearing with one another and forgiving one another and letting love bind it all together, letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts whenever there's a dispute. What's more important than who's right and who's wrong is the peace of Christ. But then we're told to be thankful, though, too. In verses 15 through 17, we're told to be thankful. Three verses. How many times are we told to be thankful in those three verses? Three. Somebody was paying attention, right? Well, let's look again. It says what? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing what?
Giving thanks
to God the Father through him. So how many times? Three. Three times in three verses. Do you get the impression maybe that the Apostle Paul was seeking to emphasize that thought, that importance of giving thanks? And be thankful. Sing with thankfulness in your hearts. Do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father. Three times, be thankful, with thankfulness, giving thanks. So obviously that's an important thing. And by the way, is this an option? Is this a suggestion for us? No, this is a command. And like any of God's command, does God give us these commands in order to burden us and weigh us down? No, he gives us these commands knowing that that when we're obedient, what is the result? There is life and joy in that, isn't there? In the obedience. So let's talk for just a minute here on a biblical perspective on gratitude. What do the scriptures say about gratitude, about giving thanks? Well, first, it is both an attitude and a practice. It's an attitude of the heart that issues forth in the words of our mouth, right? It's both an attitude and a practice. It's something we cultivate within us, but it's something we do as well. And it is a choice. It's an active, deliberate choice. I might add, along with that, it is a command, isn't it? Not an option, but it is a command. So it's an attitude, it's a practice, it's a choice, but it's a command to do this. So giving thanks, what does it look like? Well, what are we to give thanks for? Well, many things, but one of those things that we give thanks for is giving thanks to God for the good that we see and we have in our lives. As we recognize, who is the source of every good thing and every blessing? God is, right? James 1:17, he says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Isn't that good to know that God never changes? That he is who he has always been, and he will always be who he is. And he, who is he? He is good. And every good gift, every perfect gift you have comes from above, from him. So we give thanks for those good things in our lives, the things that we would call the blessings in our lives. What are some of those things? What are some of those good things or blessings that we should give thanks to God for? Like what, for example?
Health.
Health, all right, a good health. Family, I heard, right?
Church.
A church, okay.
Shelter.
Shelter, a home, yeah.
Peace.
Peace, the provision of our needs, peace. Some of you are thankful for your pastor. I don't know about all of you, you know, but some of you might be, yeah. So there are any number of good things, blessings that we have, that we give thanks for those things. What about the things that aren't so good in our lives? Do we give thanks then too? Yes, we do. But I'm not saying that we give thanks for the bad things or the hard things. But we can give thanks in those hard times and those difficulties in our life, right? So we give thanks for the good things that God has blessed us with that have come from his hand. But even in the things that are not so good in our lives, we give thanks in all things, in all circumstances. Why? Because God is with us. Through it all, he never leaves us or forsakes us. And we know that we have hope, eternal hope in him. God is with us. And also the scriptures promise that God is working for our good in all things. So even when things are hard, you got some bad news from the doctor. There's a relationship that is really challenging you, something going on in your family. Maybe there's even some difficulty in a relationship in a church with another believer in a church that's challenging you. But we can give thanks to God even in that, for what we know that he is working for our good in and through all things, including those. And by the way, what is the good that he is working for in all of those things, including the hard things? The good that he is working for is he's making us more like Christ through it. To be made more like Christ in thought, word, and deed. To know him better. How many of you know the joy that comes from just knowing God better and better? So what is the good that he is working through? Well, it's through that, through those hardships and difficulties, he's making us as we submit to him and his purposes in it, he is making us more like Christ in thought, word, and deed. He is drawing us to know him better and better. And he is advancing the eternal purposes of his kingdom. These are the good that God is working in and through all things in us. Made more like Christ, know him better, advancing the purposes of the kingdom in our lives or others. This is the good. Have you ever thought of giving thanks as a discipline, a practice to be cultivated? Well, I think it is. I think we should develop the discipline, the practice of giving thanks. Like, for example, study. How many of you like to study? We got some studiers like to study the Word of God. Well, I think there's great joy in that, isn't there? But study all the blessings that you have in Christ and actively meditate on these truths each day. Here's just a few of them for us to contemplate. Forgiveness. Ever thought about what a blessing that is to know that God is no longer your judge who's going to condemn you for your sins forever, but those have been forgiven, that you have been released from the eternal penalty of sin, that Christ has met the price for your forgiveness. Eternal life. Eternal life does not mean that you live forever and ever. Now, it is true, you are going to live forever. That's a part of it. But eternal life isn't just living forever and ever. It's what? It's about a quality of life. It's eternal life as opposed to eternal death, eternal judgment, eternal condemnation. So it's being in the presence of God and knowing his blessing and his goodness and his favor forever and ever. That's eternal life. Life is knowing him forever and ever. Everlasting love and faithfulness. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." You know that there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more or love you less. He loves you fully and completely. And it's an everlasting love. And because of that love, he is faithful to you. It's holiness. It's the gift of perfect righteousness. Said on many occasions, would you want to live forever and ever in a world like this world? I wouldn't. But that's not eternal life, isn't living forever and ever in a world like this. It's living in a world that has been made perfect. And in order for a world to be perfect, imperfect human beings have to be made perfect, don't we? And that's one of the things that God has done for us in Christ. He's made us perfect in him, given us the gift of that. We do not yet experience it in its fullness just yet, do we? But we will. It's perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. It's a gift. It's peace with God. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is no longer at war with us to judge, to condemn. Brother, we are at peace. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit that he takes up residence within us. Adoption, that he has called us to be his own children, an eternal relationship with him. His promise to supply our needs. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." It's access to the throne of grace. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful access that is. It's God's sovereign wisdom and good purpose that God is working for good purposes in your life, including even working through the hardships and the difficulties, working for your good. It's the promise of the resurrection, the resurrected body. We're not going to live forever in some mysterious realm called heaven, but rather what? We're going to live on a new earth. Heaven is coming here to a new earth. And God's dwelling will be with his people here. We're going to live on a physical new earth in physical, resurrected, glorified bodies. It's eternal reward. Knowing that what you do right now for God, he will remember. He won't forget, and he will reward you forever for that. And it's an inheritance, all more than we can even possibly imagine. Do you meditate each day on your hope in Christ? Your hope is what? That assured certain promise of things that God is going to do for you. Eternal life, perfect righteousness, a resurrected body, heavenly reward, new earth. Habitually give thanks for all of the blessings that you have each day. Keep a record of God's activities and blessings in your life and review it periodically. Choose gratitude when the difficult and painful circumstances inevitably come. I say all of that because you have heard all of this before. You know these things. I have preached all of these things before, but I want to tell you now a little personal testimony on gratitude here in this. I decided it was time to grow in practicing what I preached on this topic. So I decided, you know what? I know I need to do this, and I did. I gave thanks to God. But I realized, you know what? I was being challenged to make this a conscious, deliberate, daily discipline in my life. To make this a practice, not an afterthought or an occasional thing, but a daily, conscious, deliberate discipline and practice in my life. So how has this conscious discipline been impacting, been changing my life? Well, here's what I did. I started off this way. You know what? It's so easy to go through our day mindlessly, isn't it? But just stop for a minute and think about when you see the people in your life, when you see the things that God has blessed you with, when you see the opportunities that come your way, when you see the provision that God has made for you, don't take it for granted. But just take a moment to what? To consciously thank God for that. Thank God for that person who's such a blessing in your life. And even tell them, let them know. Now, what about the person that doesn't feel like a blessing in your life? Thank God for them too, and for what God is teaching in you and doing you through it. Now, I don't recommend that you tell the person that thing. You know what? I give thanks to God for you for how you really challenge me, you know? So, no. Keep that between you and God, right? But give thanks. Consciously choose. And so I would go through, as I go through my day, there are things like when I get out of the car, I like to just kind of tap the car and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this provision. Thank you for this that you've given me. This. Thank you that it runs, right? Thank you that the tank is full of gas. You know, all of these things. Thank you, Lord, for that. Getting you here safely, right? I think about that too. Walking in the house. Thank you, Lord, for this provision, for this home that you've given me. You know, I'm thinking just here over the past 2-3 years here now, I've been having this little project, a little home renovation project, and all the things that that I've been doing that have been making it a nicer home for me. I've been thinking about how thankful I am to God for that, but in particular, someone who has kind of come alongside and is doing, as you know, I am not exactly the most handy person in the world, you know. I can debate and discuss a lot of things, but if you ask me to pick up a hammer and nail, it's like, bam, oh, you know, and I hit my hand. You know, I'm that guy who does that, right? So anyway, but God has brought into my life someone who is eager, who's very handy, very good at that, loves to do those things, and has come inside and has been doing that, helping me out with all of this. And I'm so thankful, you know, for him. And there is no way I could have done any of this myself, first of all. But also, there is no way that I could get as much as being done without him. He's giving of himself, giving of his time to do this because he wants to do that. You know. And I'm thinking, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. So I'm thankful for that. But I think of you, I think all of you, and I think of this church. And I think of the ways that I've seen God work in you and through you, and give thanks for that. So it's just a conscious choice, not just to go mindlessly through the day, but to stop for a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for that. For the good things, yes, but even in the hard times, say what? Thank you, God, that you are with me right now. This has been a challenging year for me in some ways. And yet, through it all, though, I've seen how God has worked in it. And I've been thankful to God for that, that in those hard times, that God is there. He's working. So how has this conscious discipline been impacting or changing my life? Well, first I would tell you, through a greater knowledge of Christ, that I've come to know Christ on a deeper level than I knew him before. It's helped me to see a greater awareness of truly how richly I have been blessed. It is a lot less worry or stress about things when tough times come. You know what? What's our default position for many of us when a difficulty or a challenge comes along? We get a little anxious, stress, we fret, right? Worry. You know what? But giving thanks in that, whoosh, there goes the worry. It's greater faith. Cultivating gratitude and recognizing and remembering and thanking God for what he has done encourages my faith to grow, to trust him more. For what's next, Lord? What are you going to do next? In faith. But also I'll tell you this, it's cultivated greater joy in my life, greater happiness, the joy of the Lord. And there's great joy in knowing how gratitude honors him. It's been a life-changing experience for me, and I want to challenge you to do that. I've been practicing what I preached on that. And I want you to practice what you've heard preached, right? So what? A daily, deliberate, conscious attitude of gratitude can dramatically change your life. So I want to ask, will you commit right now, will you commit to cultivating a daily, deliberate, conscious attitude of gratitude? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We do thank you for all of these testimonies that we have heard. And not only the ones that we have heard, we know that there are others that have not been voiced here, but they are there here in our hearts, Lord. We all do give you great thanks and praise today, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done for us in Christ, for your abiding presence with us, for all those blessings. Help us, Lord, not to take them for granted, but to consciously and deliberately give you thanks each day for those things. And Lord, when the hard times come, when the difficulties come, that we give thanks in the midst of those, and even too, knowing that you are working in them, that you do not abandon us, that you are faithful to us, that you are working for good in it, that we might know you better, that we may be made more like Christ, that the work of the kingdom will be advanced in us and through us and for others. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this time of corporate worship as we go forth, Lord. May we cultivate daily that attitude of gratitude, of giving thanks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.